Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we are at facebook.com/radiocafe. Today, ladies and gentlemen, day 8 of the KSFR Fun Drive, and I have sitting here with me Allie McGraw. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning. It's just a treat to be here with you.
It's great to be drinking coffee here in the Santa Fe Baking Company with you.
I'm having coffee with a little chocolate in it, I have to confess.
I am too.
Good.
The only chocolate I ever eat. So, you are a longtime public radio listener and supporter. Why do you listen to KSFR?
Well, in one word, I think it's the only way to get real news. I'm so horrified by what masks now as public radio and television information. It's mostly celebrity rubbish and kind of endless disaster information. But we're so uninformed as a country without public radio. And New Mexico's so lucky to have you at KSFR because it's real global information and important information.
The number for the fund drive is 505-428-1393. And we are asking every single person who's listening today to call and make a pledge to KSFR in any amount. It can be $10, it can be $10,000, it can be anything in between. 428-1393. I did the math last night, and I have a page called on Facebook called Santa Fe Radio Cafe, or facebook.com/radiocafe. And I have, I think, 1,500 and change numbers of friends, quote-unquote friends. And I did the math. If every single Facebook friend were to give $25.38 right now, the fund drive would be over at the end of this hour.
Or we'd have extra, which we can always use.
That's right.
Do you know? I mean, there's no such thing as enough for this issue, I think. Because if by any chance public media dies and KSFR for us, then we are going to be a community of morons.
Yeah, and that is no joke, because having an informed democracy is the only way to have a democracy at all.
And I'm constantly horrified when I realize that you can sit, or one can sit, and listen to or watch endless, obvious media and never realize that there are any more countries in the world. And, for example, I know that this program is going to focus on the Pakistani flood, about which I have heard absolutely zero since the second day of it.
Right.
And it's, you know, a bigger disaster than Haiti, tsunami, and Katrina rolled together.
I know.
And without, I know that this program is going to be devoted to that information. And when I first heard the details of it, which was with Aisha Khan, who's going to be on this show, my mouth dropped, because you would think, and this happens in every corner of the world, that 2 days in, good, next problem.
Right.
And you all are the people that are keeping our population informed and compassionate and maybe contributing.
One of the things that I learned from listening to Democracy Now! Was that when something happens, it's important not only to do a show about it, but then to follow up 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, so what's going on now? Because that gets people to realize that in their own lives and in the rest of the world's life, there is a continuity.
And that we are now a global community. There's no more possibility to assume that we're all little islands unconnected with each other. I think in the era of computer technology, we all know everything instantly. And we have a real responsibility to take care of each other.
428-1393 is the number here in the area code, 505-428-1393. We're setting a goal of $1,500 for this hour. Allie McGraw has made a generous contribution already, so we are part of the way to our goal, but we want to reach $1,500. We indeed need to reach $1,500 by the end of this hour.
Oh, let's do that.
Let's do it. I love it. There is a contingent of people. I've been talking to people and say, what do you think? Have you given to the fund drive? Oh, yeah, and I'm just cheering them on. I turn it on every once in a while just to see where they're at, because I want to cheer them on.
It's fun to listen to the number, you know, grow and grow and grow, but it's so essential. It's such a little total, and a little bit from a number of the population of where we live can do this in an hour.
As Richard Block used to say, and we miss him, he was for many years the most active board member that KSFR ever had. He would say, look, it's like passing the basket in the church. It doesn't matter how much you give, but you got to give a little something. You got to put at least your nickel in or whatever it is.
I think so. And I think that's even maybe something that the teachers in schools could think about with the kids. And I love that idea that kids already understand that they have a voice and that they are part of the community. So that extra change from buying a lollipop could go into a basket, and the school could say, here's ours, because these are the citizens of tomorrow, and they need to be trained.
They need to be trained. 505-428-1393. We've had a couple of calls so far. Phones are quiet at this very moment. I'm getting instantaneous feedback from the control room at all times.
Well, just as soon as the children are dropped at school, I expect a big surge.
Yes, we need a surge, the good kind of surge.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's funny what words become tainted.
Perfectly good words then become associated with things. I want to thank Sandra Oriel for making a contribution. 428-1393. And we're going to hear an interview that I recorded one or two days ago, and I had to record it in advance because one of the ladies was actually on her way to Pakistan. So let's go ahead and hear it, and we'll be back in just a little bit, but let me give the number one more time, 505-428-1393.
I am sitting at the Museum Hill Cafe on Museum Hill in Santa Fe instead of the Santa Fe Baking Company. Today we are going to have an update on the flooding in Pakistan. I'd like to welcome back to the program Aisha Khan. She is a film director and producer, and she's been on the program before. She's from Pakistan. Marisa Roop is the owner of Mina Mahal Arts, and Dr. Jennifer Hartley is a physician and anthropologist, and she's with a group called Shine Humanity. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having us.
So there was an event at the Museum of International Folk Art recently that was organized by the three of you and some more people as well to raise funds for flood relief. You, Aisha, have been working with a group called Relief for Pakistan.
Yes.
And tell us, give us an update since the last time you were on.
Well, since the interview that I did with you, I have to tell you, I could not believe how many people from Santa Fe actually emailed us, wrote on our webpage, sent us money. And at that point, the drive was about 115,000. We've actually exceeded that. We're at about $137,000 now that we have raised for Mercy Corps. And we've upped it to about 150,000.
So that's your goal now?
That's our goal now, yeah.
So what is happening in Pakistan? I mean, are we still experiencing worsening flooding? Are the waters receding? What's going on?
The rains are still going on. This is the problem. It's like an ongoing, unfolding tsunami. So even though there are some areas which the army has been able to reach and set up camps, as well as private flood relief groups who have reached into and, you know, set up camps and everything, there's always another area which is getting flooded. So it's an ongoing emergency. And one really has to figure out that you just go into emergency response, or you just, you know, you start setting up proper camps and everything with these guys, and now we have to start dealing with their livelihood issues.
So when we last talked, there was a question of whether there was going to be a food shortage because all this food relief was going from the cities to the villages.
Right.
Where are you at now?
We seem to have averted it for the time being. But in the long term, they have lost so many crops, because remember, we're an agricultural-based society, wheat and rice and everything, that they are expecting in the next couple of months that there will be shortages. Right now, with the UN doing a major appeal again, 2 days ago, they put out that the damage now is they need $2 billion, which is 30% more than Haiti, by the way. And so far from the original appeal, which was $450 million, they've only been able to receive, I think, $250. So we're not there yet.
Right, right.
And the concern that Relief for Pakistan has, and other organizations, of course, and Dr. Jennifer will be talking about this also, is that suddenly we are again in the U.S. in media blackout. There's nothing on primetime news, or even CNN at this point, covering this ongoing disaster. And we really need the world to start focusing on it. The other countries internationally, apparently, we are getting coverage. But
are
for
you
some reason,
in Europe and in the Arab world? And
yes, we are getting coverage, but nowhere on the level as Haiti. Nowhere at all.
Now, the last time we talked, one-third of Pakistan was underwater.
Yes, it's still underwater.
And it's still that much land.
It's still that much land. The event that the museum hosted for us, which was fantastic, which Marissa and Dr. Jennifer were at also and helped organize, one of the things I did is showed a DVD, a video, which has been sent to me, which was made for the government of Pakistan, which showed you all these flood-affected areas.
Which we're going to try to make a link to, ladies and gentlemen.
Because I think it's very important. Ali McGraw had very generously given us a lot of time to introduce the speakers and everything, and she turned to us in the audience, from the audience, and she said, I can't believe these images. I have not seen these images in the U.S. media. And she spoke, I think, for everybody in the audience at that time. There was a gasp that why are these images not being shown to the average, you know, American so that they understand what the level of disaster we're dealing with.
This is obviously radio, and so there's only so much that we can show. We can't show anything, but tell us what people are seeing.
There are entire towns. I mean, imagine Katrina and multiply it by 200. Am I low on that?
No.
Is it?
No.
Imagine Katrina and multiply it by what? Mm-hmm. What should I say, Jennifer?
Like, more, I would say. Even more. And the area is so huge.
It's literally like they've turned into rivers. These lands have turned, like a third of Pakistan is turned into a river. I don't know if that's visual enough for our listeners.
There's another point that I think is crucial to make, which is that there are many areas where the actual level of the land is lower than the level of the rivers. So the water has nowhere to go. So now you have an issue of these huge areas covered by standing water,
right,
which then, you know, on a daily basis, every day, this water gets more contaminated with human and animal wastes, and, you know, mosquitoes start to breed, and you're at risk for epidemics of malaria. So I think that's a point that is not being made, that mm-hmm. there are these areas that are almost like lakes now, like semi-permanent lakes, because the water can't drain off.
And is there any way to make that water go away? I mean,
there is. You can pump it out. It's a huge project, and that's one of the projects that Shine has been working on. Is buying water pumps for certain areas so that they can just get the water out to begin the process of rebuilding.
Now, when we're on the subject of these epidemics, there's a lot of epidemics that can and public health problems that can take place as a result of a flood like this. Are we starting to see those kinds of problems? Are there plans to do some prevention?
Yeah, well, what I'm hearing is that certainly, you know, we're right at the end of the summer now, so this is the season of diarrheal illness in general in Pakistan. And all of the usual problems with that, particularly dehydration, particularly important with women, pregnant women and children, all of those problems are worse. More people getting sick and people getting much sicker because they can't get to facilities to be treated. There are also areas, as I said, where malaria is showing up because of the mosquito breeding. And essentially everything, I don't think there were some outbreaks of cholera in various places. I haven't heard anything about, you know, any kind of mass epidemics, but it's there. And, you know, the potential is not going away. For those things, an epidemic, it doesn't take much to start an epidemic, and everybody who's on the ground is working hard to avert that, but you know, 3 weeks from now I could be telling you a very different story. And
I mean, the UN is saying that right now one of their biggest concerns, because it's 20 million people who have been displaced by these floods.
20 million people. Oh, my Lord.
I mean, I can't. It's mind-boggling.
You can't imagine
number.
It.
Yeah, it's what New York and Chicago combined or something like that.
It'll be all of Florida underwater.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, no, actually, somebody pointed out it's the size of Italy.
Oh,
it's
Lord.
All of Italy, imagine, underwater.
Right.
That's how big this area is, this chunk of land down there. 20 million people affected, but the UN also put out these statistics that their concern is the 8.5 million children within that 20 million number who are affected, displaced, and then on mm-hmm. the verge of these illnesses.
And you have to think, too, that a lot of these children are not, their nutritional status is marginal to begin with. You know, right. they're not necessarily the healthiest children in the world to start with. And then you start exposing them to these conditions and to the elements and to even worse nutrition. And it doesn't take much to tip a child over into severe illness and death. I mean, even here in this country, right. children die of dehydration. So.
That's right. And malnutrition.
And malnutrition. And kind of, you can imagine how much worse it is.
What are people eating? How are they surviving?
Food rations are being dropped. I mean, literally the problem is that we, just imagine the Katrina. I like to use visuals that we've already had in our head because we have no media coverage. Remember Katrina victims still standing on their rooftops waiting right. for rescue and no way to get to them. And you're having these airlifts all over Pakistan right now in some of the worst affected areas where they're literally just going in by helicopter and throwing stuff at people. Rations, okay? Then they also realize, one of the reports I got is, okay, so they're throwing rice in these rations. There's no water to cook it. So it's a disaster.
Ironically, there's no water.
with all this flooding.
I heard something interesting the other day from the people that I'm talking with about the water in particular. This is just a good example, I think, of how complex relief efforts on this scale are. In an area where people had received chlorine tablets to purify the water for drinking water, they didn't like the taste of the water with the tablets in it. And so they were not using that to drink and drinking the dirty water instead.
Oh, my God.
So, there are multiple levels that this that relief work needs to be engaged in.
Right.
And the one point to make, because I know people keep asking me about the government of Pakistan, what are they doing, whatever. No government in the world could handle a disaster of this scale right. without international support. We couldn't handle Katrina.
Well, we chose not to handle Katrina.
But you know what I mean? Like the biggest country, superpower of the world, had a disaster of that scale in our midst, and it didn't. And this is just beyond anybody's capacity to comprehend.
And I'm in the cafe in the Santa Fe Baking Company with Ali McGraw. We are talking with Aisha Khan and friends about Pakistan. This is information that I have not been reading in other places.
I've not read it, and you know, I was lucky enough to be at their talk at the Museum of International Folk Art, and they showed this tiny film, which of course the images are going through my mind as Aisha talks on the radio, and that this thing is not on every major network is beyond comprehension to me. So I think the service that you at KSFR do to for this hour to bring these images as best as possible through the voices of these very amazing women who are committed to help maybe will paint a picture for people who would ordinarily have no idea. She's right about one thing. We did see Katrina and Haiti. Those images flooded all of our consciousness. Now we have to rely, thank God, on the voice of KSFR to lay over our picture of what it might look like in Pakistan, multiply it times 1,000, and get the picture that is being pushed off of the news pages in favor of some reality television shows costume change, you know? I mean, what is wrong with American media?
If you think there's something wrong with American media, or if you just simply love KSFR, give us a call right now, 505-428-1393. We also have a toll-free number, which is 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. And I think that it's very important. I'm a contributor to public radio. I contribute to radio and to other organizations that I really believe in. And I think it's important to become part of those, to have them be part of your, not exactly flesh, but your daily, what you give, what you take in.
Absolutely. It's on automatic, I think. It's part of being a member of Civilization 2010. Otherwise, as I said, we're ignorant and constantly pushed into terror and fear and impotence. And it's not necessary because, really, the tiniest bit of money that anyone could spare for KSFR makes a huge difference in this information channel, which is so essential to all of us living, especially in this town, which prides itself on being multicultural and internationally focused and compassionate, and you see it everywhere. But without KSFR, I wonder what we'd know. Not very much.
Exactly. 505-428-1393. The phones have been a little bit quiet. We're about 20% of the way to our $1,500 goal, so we got to step it up really fast.
Please, 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 please.
Well, I mean, Allie gave a contribution, Allie McGraw here with me, and basically every person who has been on the show since we started doing the fund drive has made a contribution.
Well, sure. Because we're on the show, first of all, we all love you. Let's start with that.
Thank you.
Well, it's true. I mean, you're just a conduit for everything that I think is important to hear and know about. But we're on the show because we believe in what KSFR is doing. And frankly, somebody is going to hear this very program and do something enormous for this particular fund drive, you know, not just for the fund drive for KSFR, but for the issue that you are uniquely exposing.
428-1393. And I think, you know, there's two kinds of enormous. One is the kind where somebody like Aisha Khan takes the issue in hand and along with three or four other women runs with it, raises vast amounts of money, and gives that money where it's needed in Pakistan, direct aid to flood victims. That's one. The other kind of enormous is everybody doing a little piece.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part because I think that's the definition of community. We see it a lot here in Santa Fe with the many, many nonprofits that work so, you know, incredibly hard. But I think now we just have this bigger responsibility, which is I understand absolutely that we're asked to do zillions of things. Therefore, a tiny bit, as many places as possible, makes the global community compassionate and hopeful.
Hopeful is a huge part of it. I think when you contribute to KSFR, that is a vote for hope.
I totally agree with you, because if we pay attention to the general tenor of pop media, we notice that their favorite is sensationalism and fear-mongering, which paralyzes us. And when we have something like KSFR that says, here's how you can make a little difference. Multiply it times thousands, and you've made a huge difference, and you've changed. I think it's essential.
That's where it's at. I have often thought that making a contribution to an organization like KSFR, or specifically to KSFR, is like voting.
Uh-huh.
One vote does not elect an elected official, but being part of the many votes is what it's all about. That's how you get change. That's how you get the government you want.
And this is a concrete way to affect change, contributing to KSFR, because it guides, it sort of says, here's what we demand as citizens. We demand clear information, and we demand it of everything going on in the world. We do not want to hear 10 running days of drivel about some failed pop star's marital problems. You know, and suddenly everybody's forgotten, oh, what happened in the Sudan? What happened in Afghanistan? What's happening in the Four Corners? You keep us informed and proactive. And that, you know, that raises the level of civilization, I think.
505-428-1393. 505-428-1393. We're going to go back to this interview, which was recorded Sunday. It was Sunday afternoon at the Museum Cafe. And so this event at the Folk Art Market had just happened, which you attended, and so many people got their minds blown about what's happening in Pakistan. But it's just important to reach more and more listeners about this and about every other issue. And I think it's important also, I mean, on this program, we cover international disasters, local theater, the cuteness of fuzzy little dogs.
Exactly. all part of life.
Exactly.
Yeah?
And all the different parts of our lives. I mean, I think it's really a great privilege for me not to have to put myself into a niche. You know, I've got the political beat or the education beat or the arts beat. We do it all. And I think that because so many of us are interested in all of those things, it's nice to have radio that represents the full person that you are.
I think it's essential. And I think each thing that you spoke about is essential. It's balance, you know, the thing we search for the most, a balanced life, contribution and family, And yes, absolutely, animals. Dogs. You and I have our relationship based on that. And it's just something that I think that Santa Fe in particular needs to take very seriously as sort of the follow-up to brushing their teeth.
Exactly. 505-428-1393. 505-428-1393. We're going to hear from our beloved underwriters for just a moment and then go back to this interview. Please call us now while we're still on break. 428-1393 and help us get to our goal.
Now, Dr. Jennifer Hartley, you are with a group called Shine Humanity. What are they and what are they doing in Pakistan?
So Shine Humanity was born out of the vision of one American man in the 2005 Pakistani earthquake. He had a background in disaster relief in this country, had never left the country before, and called the State Department and said, send me, I want to go to Pakistan.
And they did?
And they hooked him up with an organization, and he went. And when all the large relief organizations started pulling out after the acute relief phase, he saw that there was still a tremendous need for sustainable, long-term healthcare in the rural parts of Pakistan. And he started this NGO, this non-governmental organization, Shine Humanity. And he's still there. And he is just an incredible, has the biggest heart of anyone I've ever met, an incredible ambassador of American goodwill. And he is on the ground with his team. He has a very, very dedicated Pakistani staff. Who have worked with him since the earthquake in Kashmir. He also has quite a large network of international medical volunteers at this point. And he has been kind of adopted by the Pakistani-American community here, who are fundraising for him. And they are, I think, they're in a pretty unique position in that they work very much under the radar. They don't spend money on security, transportation, fancy places to live that a lot of the larger organizations do. And they now, he has been there now for close to 5 years, basically. So he has many intimate contacts in the Pakistani government and in the NGO, the local NGO community there. So people are now, the government is actually calling him and asking him, saying, you know, we have no one in this province. Can you send teams there? And so he is able to send his own teams, but also work with other, you know, local organizations. They just had a group of physicians from one of the medical colleges in Lahore call him up and say, we have a team of doctors, you know, but we can't deploy. We don't have medicines. You know, we don't know where the biggest need is. So Shine is supplying them with medicine, supplying them with vehicles, taking care of the logistics, and getting the medical teams in to where they need to go. So
it's a great illustration, as we also had with Greg Mortensen and Three Cups of Tea and all of that, of how the most important thing is making human relationships, if you're going to be that kind of ambassador from one country to another, is not having, you don't need the fancy accoutrements. You need to actually get to know people and stick with them for a long period of time.
Exactly. Todd often says, you know, he says, I'm not the most qualified person to be doing this work, but I'm the one who's here.
Yeah.
He's done incredible work. I mean, we know about his work, Pakistani Americans especially, and he really is. I mean, Jennifer and I spoke yesterday. He is the next Greg Mortensen.
Right.
Yeah. Who has gone. He's a redhead.
He's
you know, sings songs.
Bear of a man. He's a musician.
He sings everywhere. I've seen the slides, you know, Jennifer was showing at the event. It's just remarkable. I mean, the human element. And that's what I think we all need to focus on for this flood relief and disaster is that this is a human disaster on a scale that this planet has not seen before. And we all need to be reaching out across every border and doing anything that we can.
Anything,
whether it's money, whether it's volunteering. Shine Humanity actually takes volunteers.
They do take volunteers.
They're completely set up for that. So if anybody's interested, because I got a lot of calls from people in Santa Fe asking if they could actually, what organization they could hook up with to be going down for volunteering opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think shinehumanity.com, you can
dot
go
org, with actually.
Dot org, is, sorry, is got, you know, full
they have a,
of what to do.
Form on their website that you can download and fill out.
Shine Humanity, S-H-I-N-E, shinehumanity.org. Marisa Roof, you are working with textile cooperatives. You've been doing this for quite some time, And some of the people that you've been working with in Pakistan are now also victims of the flood.
Yes, we're in touch with two of them in the Northwest Frontier Province, which is kind of bordering Afghanistan area. And the ones in Sindh Province, which are on the southeast side of the country, we can't get in touch with them right now, so we really don't know how they're affected. But the ones up near in Swat Valley and the Hazara area, we are in touch with one of them. We know that one of the villages that was about 20 minutes away from the main town, we can't get to now because the bridge is washed away and the road's gone. So we have to go apparently 5 hours around a mountain to get to this village. So I'm leaving next week to kind of see what the situation is. My partner's there. He just arrived last week. So we're trying to assess the situation. And we're coming more from a, since the infrastructure has been affected, like how can we help them, whether in the camps we could start maybe vocational training centers. Because apparently what I understand is that the Swat Valley area, it has receded more there. And the worst affected is down in the south in Sindh. So if there's any way we could bring some sort of vocational center or some, like a women's center, it's more conservative up in that area, where women would have a place to go, and if they wanted to, you know, continue their income, generate more sources of income for their families.
Now, so this is something that you have already been doing in an ongoing way.
Well, we started about 8 months ago.
Oh, okay. I thought it was longer than, right.
No, I was working more in Cambodia with silk weavers in the past, and this just started in Pakistan 8 months ago.
And what kind of textiles are you working with and importing from Pakistan?
They're hand embroidery, traditional hand embroidery from different tribes, different regions. They're
and you sell them here in Santa
mm-hmm.
Fe?
And all over. I do a lot of wholesale. So.
Oh, okay.
Clothing.
And I actually buy all my clothes from Marisa. Just to let you know how authentic it is, you actually cannot get this stuff. I don't know where Marisa goes in Pakistan. Because I'm into the whole tribal look, and that's what she does. And they're exquisite. I mean, I buy my clothes from Marisa.
And you can find her, ladies and gentlemen, at Mina Mahal Arts, which is in the Traveler's Market at DeVargas Mall here in
yes.
Santa Fe. And we are here in the Santa Fe Baking Company, and let's get a report from the control room. Mary Lynn, what's going on?
Hey, yeah, we've had a few calls there. One, I sent you a couple names or whatever, but one of them you know very well, Agnes
yes.
Langdon. I'm trying to read behind me.
Yes, and Don Begley and Elizabeth Light. So not sure. We'll have to do the math here, see yeah. how far we are on toward our goal of $1,500 for this hour.
About halfway, and
we
you can
halfway.
Do it.
Okay,
we can do it.
We
can do it.
Allie McGraw.
Well, I was just thinking that now that all the children have probably been dropped off at school and the people driving and listening to you have sort of digested the urgency of reaching this total, maybe they can just pick up their little phones and say, we're going to take care of this right now, because $1,500 really isn't that much to ask from a community this large. And it's the culmination of this eight-day fundraising drive, which... It's such an important thing for the quality of our life here in Santa Fe.
428-1393 is the number, and of course, you can't call if you don't know the number, so here it is again. 428-1393. You can also, of course, give at ksfr.org, which is great, and if you want to just, if you're sitting at your computer already at work or at home and you think, oh, I'll just do it that way, that's fine, but of course it's more fun if you call, because then we get to see how many people are listening to the Radio Cafe right now. So make those phones ring like crazy, 505-428-1393.
And I always want to say about fund drives that even a small amount is a huge donation, and it's absolutely wonderful. And in this economic time, with all the demands all of us have in this community for really urgently important things, I understand the hesitation, but if you think, gosh, $10, it will make a big difference. And then there might be a balance somewhere of someone who suddenly realizes what service KSFR, you know, gives to this community, and their much larger check will sort of balance it, and it'll all work out perfectly.
505-428-1393. Another thing you can do is, if you don't want to write a larger check,
or even a medium-sized check, you can do a very small monthly contribution. Let's say you want to give 50 cents a day, $15 a month. You can just sign up, talk to your very nice and wonderful phone volunteer. I love our phone volunteers. Give them all a big hug from me today, from the Santa Fe Baking Company and from Allie. But you can just say, hey, how do I give $15 or $20 a month? Then they'll sign you up. And then during the fund drives, you can say, ha-ha, I've already given.
Yeah, and also think of it as maybe that second cup of coffee that you just sort of pass on just this once.
Exactly, yeah. And when you think about the price, it used to be, you remember that expression, that and 25 cents will buy you a cup of coffee?
Yeah, where is that?
That and $4 will buy you a cappuccino somewhere.
Without the tip.
Without the tip, exactly. So, hey, if you would like to maybe give up 4 cups of coffee a month that you didn't really need anyway, that's your $15 a month right there.
Yeah, that's a brilliant way to put it.
428-1393, and you will be less jittery. You
right.
have a little bit less acid, and you will help KSFR tremendously. It all makes a big difference. 505-428-1393. And Allie McGraw, you are off to do something else before the end of this show, so we're going to say goodbye to you in just a moment.
It's such a pleasure to be with you and to be a supporter of KSFR, and I'm so happy to be able to add my voice and my check to your fund drive, because the service that you all provide for us as a community is vital. It's not to be confused with pure entertainment, although there's a lot of entertainment on your show.
Well, that's the thing. You know, a friend of mine said, you know, some of us are saving the world, and others of us are making the world worth saving.
Yeah, and my favorite possibility, and I'm working on it, is balance.
Yeah.
So that you have a little of, which is what your show is. It's a beautiful balance of delicious things happening here and our ability to contribute within our community and in the larger global community. And to provide information that, for some reason that I just really don't understand, is not available on our old dials. You know, our old AM informational radio doesn't tell us what's going on.
Yeah, it's
doesn't
it's
even
a
tell
shame.
Us what great theater's going on or any of the fun things. It just seems to be all about horror and doom. And that's not good enough.
It's not good enough. Listen, we're going to have to go right now, hear from two more of our beloved underwriters, and then we are going to hear the rest of this interview with Aisha Khan and Jennifer Hartley and Marisa Roof about Pakistan, and it gets kind of fun in the third segment, so please listen. But before we go back to it, give us a call at 505-428-1393. Allie McGraw, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh,
really,
it was a pleasure.
It.
I love your show, and I love what you do, and let's get that 1500 today.
Let's get it right
please.
Now. Okay, 428-1393 in the area code 505. We'll be back.
Jennifer Hartley, tell us more about what Shine Humanity is doing.
Okay, well, what they basically do is they will go into an area and talk to the local people and find out what is most needed in that area. So they don't go in with their own agenda. They go in and say, what do you need? And we'll help you accomplish it. So some of the things that they've been working on, one of their very first projects was erecting livestock tents. Because when the rains were still falling very, very intensely, families didn't even have any place to keep themselves dry most of the time. And so their livestock, which they depend on for nutrition and for livelihood, were literally out in these torrential rains. And I've seen, they were sending me all these incredibly moving pictures of goats and water buffalo with these makeshift raincoats on, made out of plastic and garbage bags, just kind of shivering out in this rain. So Shine went in, partnering with some local organizations, and erected these giant circus tents, basically. That's kind of what you can picture them as. And everybody brought, from the whole area, brought their animals in and were able to stake them down and then have, you know, dry feed for them and you know, made a tremendous difference just putting up a tent. So that was one of the first projects. In Swat, two of the things that they've done are, number one, they're working with beekeepers. It's a big honey-producing area, and the bees were all in danger of dying. So they have built new hives for them and also are supplying the bees with sugar water to keep the bees alive so that they can start producing honey again. In that same region, they've replaced the... There are many areas of Pakistan, particularly up in the mountains, where there are... they use water power. They use rivers to power these little mills, the same kind of mills that we used to have here in the 19th century. And many of those mills were completely washed away. So they've brought in mechanical mills to replace those so that people can continue to mill the grains. Because this is harvest time, and there is still some harvest going on, and people depend on this flour for their staple bread.
These stories that Jennifer is telling actually go back to what you said earlier, is that there's such a level of complexity involved, where you're doing emergency flood relief, where you're trying to get aid into areas which has not seen any aid, where you're dealing with people's livelihood, like what Shine Humanity is doing, you know, saving the livestock, because this is what these people live on. This is their livelihood and is equally important to them. I mean, I've heard stories of where villagers won't leave the flood-affected areas because they won't leave their livestock.
Right.
I mean, they will not leave them. They are wedded to their cows and sheep and goats. And
Well, and one can imagine. I mean, I often thought, as probably all of us did, when Katrina happened and all those stories came out and so on, and all these people were separated just from their pets.
Yes.
You know, there is probably a very good chance that if they had separated me from my three animals, I would have stayed on the roof and died. And those are just pets.
Right. Exactly. And this is exactly the kind of stories we're hearing from them. So the army and people like Todd and Shine Humanity and all are making a real effort to save livestock as well. So that, you know, they feel like they have something.
Well, and they do, in fact, have something when these... And I mean, you know, it's funny. When you... Your response was, it really shines a light on the complexity of what's happening. In a way, it's also... The reverse is true. The simplicity of these solutions.
Yes.
You put up a circus tent.
Yeah.
You don't need the World Bank to make a $5 million loan.
Exactly.
You put up a circus tent.
Exactly.
And one of the members of the audience in our talk at the event several days ago asked about logistics, and she said, "Well, how do you deliver aid in places where the roads are washed out?" And which was a good question, and I loved Todd's response. He said, "Well, when the waters have receded, we walk. You know, we get the local people, and we partner with them, and we have just human chains, and we get the food in, we get the medical supplies in."
And it was great, you know, that kind of a question and what Marisa's doing, like she's going in and looking at the cooperatives and, you know, what they can do. Because one of the things we're thinking of is a sustainable solution of, you know, if you start giving livelihood and start giving these women a livelihood, then we can do distribution here in Santa Fe through the Traveler's Market, through the Museum of International Folk Arts. And this is something that we talked about at the event, that we can make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like, because some days I get up and I feel totally hopeless and helpless or whatever. But then I, you know, sit and talk to Marisa or I hear stories from Jennifer. And I realize that we actually can make more of a difference than, like what you said, the World Bank will sit and wait for a $5 million thing that they'll set up.
And I want to tell people as well about the option that's available on Shine Humanity's website. You can give as little as $5.
Yeah.
They have, it's very easy. You can give... $5, and that feeds a family for a day.
Right.
Then you can give
and
10.
And you can know that. Exactly.
Yeah. So...
I think Relief for Pakistan, we have a $30. It's not even... you can give $5 on that website as well to Mercy Corps.
Now, you were talking about a program, Aisha, called Adopt a Village.
Yes. That is our next phase. So Relief for Pakistan, just if people have not heard this before with me and Mary Charlotte.
And by the way, it's relief4pakistan.com.
Is basically started by these fabulous women, three women, one in D.C., two in New York, Manaz Fancy, Zeba Rahman, and Kulsoom Lakhani. And then they roped me in. And then we have a whole bunch of ancillary women. It's like an army of women, okay, stationed all over the U.S. And our biggest concern is there's not enough awareness. We do a lot of media. We go out, talk to a lot of people. And what our next phase, we did the first phase of funding for Mercy Corps, which is the $150,000 raise, which we're almost at. The next phase that we're doing is we're joining up with a whole bunch of very, very prominent New York families. And they are going to be going out and holding fundraisers for us. And we are going to be coming up with this new strategy, which is going to be Adopt a Village.
I want to adopt a village.
I know, me too. Santa Fe should adopt a village.
Santa Fe should adopt
should
a village.
Adopt
and
a
then
village.
Eventually some number of people can visit.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what? There we have the relations among people from different countries thing going.
Exactly. So our concept is really going to be focused on areas which are going to fall through the cracks. And one of them, of course, we've identified as Balochistan. Mm-hmm. Just because of lots of reasons down there, complicated country that it is. And so we're going to start identifying these villages. We've already identified five. And we're going to keep on with that strategy and get major corporations or major, you know, New York families or like Santa Fe City can come in and adopt the village. And actually, we'll give them a blueprint of what's needed. This is what's needed for health. This is what's needed for infrastructure. This is what's needed for the school. The school buildings have been washed away, you know. These kids want to go to school. I mean, I see constantly in the relief camps that the kids are saying they still have their books. Have you seen those pictures? Yeah. They're remarkable.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you know, no, they
want
to...
The kids always... They just want to be normal.
They just want to be normal. So we're very excited about that relief for Pakistan. And we feel the amount of people coming in and offering their services and helping out and everything that we're really going to be able to make this work. So, and of course, we're going to be talking to Todd Shea as well and get all his expertise in this, you know, direction.
Now, Marisa, you are actually on your way. You're just about to go to Pakistan.
Yes.
What have you been hearing from your folks over there that you've been talking to?
Well, the most recent news was about the village in Swat Valley that was doing some of the embroidery, I think I mentioned.
Right.
And then the closest area to where my partner's family is Nosheda and Charsada, which is literally 30 minutes away. And there was a lot of flooding. Even though it was only 30 minutes away, it was lower elevation, and they did get some pretty severe damage. So I'm hoping to really see what's happening. A lot of the markets that we would buy our raw material from to give to the embroiderers were in those areas. So we'll be seeing what's available, what's still there. I won't know till I'm there.
And you'll be sending us daily reports.
Yes. And we will, on my website, we will put links so that people can find their way to all
Fantastic.
The different groups that we've been talking Great. About and people really can keep in touch. I think it's just very important that all of us, including Santa Feans and New Mexicans, know that we are part of this one big world, which
really
is full of disasters.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, the last interview that we did, you cannot imagine what an incredible response I got from Santa Fe.
You told me I was amazed.
I mean, they wrote up on the, you know, Mercy Corps website, which goes links in from Relief for Pakistan, that I am doing this because I listened to Mary Charlotte's show. I didn't know I listened to Mary Charlotte's show. At the event, Ali McGraw coming and giving us that incredible amount of time and energy to talk, to introduce the speakers and to sell, you know, stuff. She modeled Marisa's clothes for everybody, put on all the jewelry. I mean, I can't thank her enough.
Yes. Yeah,
and Sarah
wonderful.
Birmingham from the Museum of International Folk Arts, whose brainchild the whole event was. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we're going to be doing, I mean, which Ali kind of said to all of us, is that we should be doing a series of fundraisers and tapping into all kinds of people in Santa Fe, because people will give. Mm-hmm.
Well, we were talking about maybe involving in the future when Todd gets to Santa Fe, maybe in the spring, to do maybe even a weekend symposium that will involve talks, lectures, music, film, different cultural events, so people get a feel of what Pakistan is and what it represents.
And as we talked about last time when you were on the program, Aisha, is getting past people's stereotypes about terrorists and tribal people and sort of exotic, foreign, scary.
Right.
We have exotic, foreign, scary terrorists.
Right here, in Florida.
Well, gangsters in the prison. I mean, we have it everywhere. And everywhere we also have wonderful people trying to get by.
Well, I'm going to quote Ali from the speech that she gave at the event. Okay, she said, "I am here because I have seen Kashf, which is my film, which is how Ali and I met in this town." And she said it changed my entire perception of Pakistan. Because the movie deals with Sufism and spirituality and, you know, eccentrics of Lahore, and doesn't I mean, there's nothing, there was nothing happening, quite frankly, in Pakistan at that time that I could have plugged into the movie, which might be the headlines of today. And she, her point was really well taken, that it's through the arts that we can know the other. Much better than concentrating on the headlines.
Tell us the names of your various films so that if people want to find them, they can.
Yeah. The feature film is Kashf, K-A-S-H-F, The Lifting of the Veil. And the documentary, which we're hoping actually both of them are going to go into re-release, it looks like, is called Made in Pakistan.
And if people Google The Lifting of the Veil, that will be easier for them to spell.
Yes, The Lifting of the Veil, and if you just do Aisha, A-Y-E-S-H-A, we're Googleable. We are now pretty Googleable.
You are indeed very Googleable. It's wonderful to have all of you here. Aisha Khan, director and producer of films, and she's from Pakistan, and her group is called Relief for, it's the number four, relieffor.pakistan.com. And Marisa Roof is the owner of Meena Mahal Arts. What is your website?
MeenaMahalArts.com.
M-E-E-N-A. MAHAL arts.com. And Dr. Jennifer Hartley, physician anthropologist, and she's with Shine Humanity, which is shinehumanity.org. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for being such a great supporter. The Pakistanis love you.
I love them too. I've never met them except for you. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And we're here in the Santa Fe Baking Company, and wonderful to hear from these wonderful folks. We have a bunch of thank yous before we go. It's almost time to go, but thanks to Alice Griffin, Julie Ferrara from Mozart's Garage, Catherine Drawn and Anonymous, and Carol Hansen. Oh, gosh. Do we have anybody else to thank, Mary Lynn, before we go?
Not at the moment, but we'll thank them in the next hour.
428-1393. We didn't make our goal of 1,500, but we are pushing 1,000. So, hey, keep on calling KSFR 428-1393, 428-1393. Make a contribution to this wonderful radio station and to this program and to independent media. Thank you, thank you. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe at santafe.org and ksfr.org. Hasta la vista. Ciao.